أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين، اللهم علمنا التأويل يا أرحم الراحمين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله، and welcome inshallah for a short lesson today in the science of tafsir بإذن الله تعالى. Before continuing with the next ayahs, just would like to complete what we spoke about yesterday regarding the maharim, the mahrams that a person has, the women that he's forbidden to marry. We talked about the ayah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicated that the mothers and their ascendants, the grandmothers, they're all forbidden, they're maharim, as well as the daughters and what goes down below that, granddaughters and so on, and also the sisters. Any person, a person's sisters or half-sisters, they're also maharams. And then Allah says the aunts, a person's aunts, they're all your maharams also, as well as your nieces. If you're an uncle, your nieces are your maharams. And then Allah says the mothers that breastfed you, which is through breastfeeding. We spoke about how a woman who breastfeeds a child 5 times below the age of 2 years old, that child becomes mahram to her, forbidden for her, as well as her other daughters, they become haram to that child. They became like brothers and sisters through breastfeeding. And then we also spoke about the daughters, the stepdaughters. If a man marries a woman who had children, those stepdaughters are maharams. And the daughter-in-law, if a person, his son gets married, then your daughter-in-law, she's a mahram for you. Somebody asked yesterday about the brother, a woman, her brother-in-law lives with her in the same house. Her husband's brother, he lives in the same house. Is he a mahram? The brother-in-law is not, it's not a mahram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he didn't mention your brother's wife. He didn't mention that in the ayah. So the brother-in-law, the Prophet actually mentioned, he said Alhamu in Arabic, he said Alhamu al-Mawt. He said your brother-in-law is death. What he meant is it's very dangerous. Sometimes people live together in the same house where the husband and his wife and his brother live in the same house, and this is actually a very dangerous situation where it could lead to something haram. So the Prophet, he warned us about the brother-in-law living together in the same house with one's wife. Also, what about the cousin? The cousin from the mahrams? It's not mentioned in the ayah, right? So our cousins, if we have any female cousins, they're not mahrams to us. So they have to wear proper clothing when we're together, and they shouldn't be alone together with one another. So inshallah today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to read a few more ayahs from Surah An-Nisa, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَ. I'll read the whole ayah and then we can go over it. وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَ فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَلَّا تَعُولُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, what means? If you fear that you will not be just with the orphan girls, then marry that which you like of women, 2, 3, or 4. And if you fear that you cannot be just with them, then one only, or those whom your right hand possess, that is closer to being from being unjust. Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned the reason behind the revelation of this ayah. She said that there were some caretakers of orphans, where they would have young orphan girls, or they would have orphan girls under their guardianship. And then when the girls got old enough to get married, that guardian, he wanted to marry those orphan girl, or one of those orphan girls. But because she was an orphan and she had nobody to protect her, and in fact he was the only guardian, he wouldn't give her any mahar at all. Or he would give her much less than what she deserved. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to protect her rights, the right of the orphan girl, Allah says, if you fear that you're not going to be just with these orphan girls, then marry any other women. You don't have to marry these orphan girl that you're not going to give her her right. So marry what you like in khiftum, if you fear that you're going to wrong this girl because she has no one to protect her. How does she know if you're going to give her enough of her mahr, of her gift at the time of marriage? I think all of you know what mahr means, right? When a man, he marries a woman, then in Islam he should give her a gift of any amount that they agree upon. It could be as little as a small iron ring, or it could be something more than that. But it's encouraged to be less. But if a person fears that he's going to take advantage of this orphan girl, and of course Islam came to protect the orphans. So Allah says, don't marry that, but marry any other woman you like, 2, 3, or 4. So this is what Aisha, radiallahu anha, she said was the reason behind the revelation of this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ. Then marry what you desire of women, 2, 3, or 4. And this is one of the ayahs that many of the Orientalists have tried to speak ill about Islam because of this ayah. And in fact, they distort the correct meaning of this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not command a man in Islam to marry more than one wife, or to marry 4 wives. In fact, depending on the state of the man himself, he may be forbidden from marrying even one wife. A man, if he cannot afford to support a wife, and he doesn't have the ability to take care of his wife, then he should not get married at all. He's not permitted to get married if he's not able to provide and take care for his wife, or it's strongly disliked, at the very least. And so in some cases, a man, he shouldn't even get married at all. In other cases, the man, he's only permitted to marry one wife. And that is when he can provide for her, but if he married a second wife, he would be unjust. It is not allowed for him to marry another wife, a second wife, if he's going to treat one of them unjustly. If he's going to not spend time equally. If somebody, for example, a question that I was asked oftentimes, you hear that a man, he marries another woman, but only spends a short time with her, once a week or once a month, and he doesn't treat the second wife fairly. In this case, it is haram for the person to marry a second wife. Because Allah says, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعَدِينُ. If you fear that you're not going to be just with these women, with a second wife or another wife, then وَاحِدَة. Then you should only marry one wife. You're only permitted to marry one wife. Now regarding the accusations that are made about Islam, we often hear, or I was once heard, that in one of the Muslim countries, unfortunately, in Tunisia, they banned a man marrying more than one wife, even though it's they passed a law where they said it's forbidden to marry a second wife. So what happened is, once, this is one of the stories that made it in a news article, that a man was in the car and he was with his wife. It happened to be his second wife. So the police came and they were going to arrest him. They said, you married a second wife. So they asked him, is this your wife? He said, no, it's my girlfriend. And they said, okay, we'll leave you alone. So is this justice? Is this wise when it's okay to have as many girlfriends as a person likes? And this is what the law is here in many places, where they don't go by what Allah has commanded. And of course, this is not in Islam alone. This was the law in all of the previous religions. We see Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had 2 wives. He had Sarah and Hajar. Sarah, from the Sarah, he had Ishaq, Isaac, and Yaqub, and that's where the Bani Israel, their lineage traces back to. And from Hajar, she's our mother, and Ismail alayhi salam, and then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam came from Ismail's lineage. So this was the law always. And this was because in the past, and in many times, the number of women outnumber the number of men. Anytime there's a war, there's always a large number of women that are more than the number of men. You find that even in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, before Islam even existed, there was one Sahabi, his name was Ghailan. He had 10 wives. He had 10 wives. When he became Muslim, then the Prophet ﷺ said, you cannot keep 10 wives, you can only have 4. So Islam actually reduced, it prevented a man from having more than 4 wives, provided he can provide for them and deal with them justly and equally. So this is the wisdom of Islamic law, to benefit so women are not left alone in times of war. For example, we see in Germany, for example, after World War II, even in the parliament, they discussed making it permissible to have more than one wife. There's so many women who could not find a husband. And what ended up happening, and even till this day, it is legal to have prostitution in Germany. It's publicly available, and they even have cards issued by the government. So this is what happened to the women. They didn't have anybody to support them, and because of their prevention of what the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, it led to the injustice and the unfair treatment of the women, even till this day. Also, there's a common question that's asked, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala limited the number of wives to four. But we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had more than that. He had 11 wives. And the reason behind that is because this surah was revealed in Medina. The ayah that limits the wives to four was revealed in Medina after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already married all of his wives. This was after that period. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy and his rahmah for the Prophet's wives, if they were divorced, then they're the mothers of the believers. They could never be married after that. It's not permissible to marry any of the Prophet's wives, even after he passed away. So out of Allah's mercy for those women, if the Prophet ﷺ only could keep four, what would happen to the other mothers of the believers? They would have been left alone. And also they would have been looked down upon. These are the divorcees of Rasulullah ﷺ. So out of the mercy for Allah, for them, Allah revealed, He permitted that the Prophet ﷺ keep the wives that he had. And so this was a mercy for them and not something that the Prophet ﷺ didn't follow, what was revealed in Surah An-Nisa. So this is some of the misconceptions behind this ayah. And then just regarding the orphans, also one common question one of the brothers asked yesterday is, sometimes you have a child who may not be an orphan, literally. An orphan in Islam is anybody whose parents died. Is that an orphan? Does anybody know? Anybody whose father passed away. Because the father, he provides a protection for the child that nothing in the world can replace. A person who doesn't have a father, he's in a weak state, and nothing else can, even if his mother is there, she cannot provide that protection that a father, he gives to a child. So in Islam, any person, if his father passes away, then he's an orphan. Rasulullah, he was an orphan. And of course, let's see, is there anybody who's a little bit older in the room? Uncle, is your father alive?
No.
Your father, he passed away, right?
No.
He's still alive?
No.
He's not alive, right? May Allah have mercy on him. So are you considered an orphan?
No.
No, why not?
Older.
Older, right. He's beyond the age. They say an orphan is if it happens when he's below the age of maturity, below the age of puberty. But after that, when a person is older and his father passes away, he's not considered an orphan. It's only when he's a child. But the question was, the brother asked, was regarding, you have some children, unfortunately they're born out of wedlock, and sometimes the parents, they abandon that child. So should this child, should he be taken care of? And the ulama, they say that, yes, he is like an orphan. His parents abandon him. Yes, his father is still alive, but he's like an orphan. And he doesn't have any of the sin of his parents. The child, he doesn't bear the sin of his parents. His parents did something wrong, but the child, in Islam, this is one of the beautiful teachings of Islam. لا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى. No bearer of burdens shall bear the burden of another. So that child should be taken care of. And a Muslim will be rewarded, what I read from the ulama, he will also get a great reward for raising such a child. The only thing is, in Islam, the adoption, when they take a child into the house and consider it like their own child, and he takes on the name of that family, and he loses his original name, this is not allowed in Islam. The child should know that he should know his origin. And it's from his right to know his father's name and to have, in this case, if he was born out of wedlock, they'll take his mother's name. But he shouldn't be deprived of his parents' name and given a different name. But this is what is not allowed in Islam. But it is encouraged to take care of them, and it's highly rewarded, inshaAllah ta'ala, to provide for the orphan and to take care of them, inshaAllah ta'ala. So with this, inshaAllah, we'll continue again, inshaAllah, later on, maybe tomorrow, inshaAllah. Unless we have any questions, inshaAllah, we can take any questions if you have it, inshaAllah. Going once. Okay, no questions, inshaAllah. Okay, khair. وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين وجزاكم الله خير. May Allah give us the blessings of the Quran al-Kareem. Alhamdulillah.